Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If just for a minute I'd fall asleep and not dream about you. I hate to admit it, I'm out of ideas, I don't know what to do. Most of the times I think I'll make it through, but all that it takes is one image of you and it shivers. Just a little when I'm with my friends and we drink till we're done, yeah. So I can't remember how it would feel to wake up in that bed right beside you. All of the memories I try to erase just comes back when I'm sober and I see that face and it shivers.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Investigate Earth Podcast. I'm your host, Chad, alongside my wife, Sherry.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's doing okay tonight.
Yes, we hope you guys are doing amazing out there. It is 6:30 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States and South Carolina, and this is November the 21st, 2022. Guys, the name of that song is Shivers by Levin Caliber. Great band, and we want to start off this podcast by saying the reason, number one, that we picked this song is because this song depicts how you feel when you lose someone, and it's just that unshakable, mm-hmm. Shivering reality when you realize the reality comes every day.
Right. That person's not there anymore.
Yeah, and so it's a song that we had to pick for this because there are families and friends in Idaho and you know, from these victims that are suffering and they're feeling this. And so we pray for you guys. We pray for everyone that's involved in this from the very start. We want to make sure we say that.
Yes, we pray for all of you, family, friends, roommates, whoever was even around these people the night that this happened. Is I can only imagine being in your place right now and thinking about it. I'm sure it's replaying in your mind over and over. Could I have done something to help? Could I have made it different? You never know, because people interacted with all these people the night before this happened.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people are out there hurting tonight.
So we're going to talk about the timeline. We're going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about speculation and what people have speculated. We're going to talk about events that could potentially point to this possibly being a serial killer. Is this a targeted attack, or is this a random person that either stalked or was following this group of college students? And there was a situation that happened, actually multiple situations that happened, mm-hmm. very nearby this house a month or two
right.
before the actual murders
yeah.
occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to talk about is it will make you shiver, like the song says. It'll make you very uncomfortable with what is really going on in Idaho.
In Moscow and around that area.
Yeah, because listen, you know, it's one thing if you have a murder, right? You have a domestic violence situation. You know that the husband killed the wife or the wife killed the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Or a friend killed a friend because of a passionate argument that they got in. Or that one of them was cheating on the other one's wife or whatever the case may be. But this is four college students that were in the prime of their life. These were kids that were going to college. They had big plans for their future.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have no future because someone decided that they were going to brutally stab them in cold blood in the middle of the night in their home and to this right as of right now, this happened on November 13th. It is November the 21st. From what we understand, the police do not have any suspects. They do not have any clue who possibly could have done this. The police response to this entire thing, many people are criticizing their response. And we're going to talk about that as part of the timeline and how that all plays in. But guys, this is, it's horrific. It's something that we, you know, we do talk about murders on the podcast. We've done murders when we feel like that we can either make a difference or mm-hmm. we have a relationship with the family of
exactly.
the victim.
Yes.
And so we actually have done a murder before, Mark Hayes out of Arkansas, and we're proud to say that after 6 years,
six or seven years later,
finally there was an arrest. We did this podcast about 6-7 months ago, I guess. We've done a few
episodes. Well, we've done a bunch of episodes, but we've become really good friends with the victim's mother. And it was just really important for us to get that information out there and for so many people to just hear what we really know. So
yeah, 'cause
that's why we do this.
We spent a lot of time in talking to people around the area of people that were there the night of the murder.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to get them to turn themselves in. They wouldn't do it at the time, so on and so forth. But anyways, there is an arrest in that case now.
Yeah, and it makes me so happy about that. And I just hope an arrest is coming soon in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, we're going to talk about all that. But listen, for those of you that do not know who we are, we are Investigate Earth Podcast. We talk about everything around the world. We talk about the Russia-Ukraine war. We talk about corruption. We talk about UFOs. We talk about murder. We talk about everything. We talk about disappearances.
Yes, we even talked about Bigfoot.
Yeah, we've talked about Bigfoot. Which that
so
was a
you can go
a,
as heavy, heavier as light as you want to go.
Yeah. So we talk a little bit about everything, but we do try. I guess the number one thing our audience will tell you is that we really try to do everything we can to get the truth out there, no matter what it may mm-hmm. be, no matter the biases or whatnot.
Right. And that's the most important thing is whatever we're talking about on the podcast, we're looking for the truth and we're seeking the truth and we want to find the truth. And that's why this podcast is so important tonight. Because we are looking for the truth to help in any way that we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can make any small difference in this case, we've got to do it.
Yeah. So okay. And by the way, guys, if you want to follow us, we're on social media, Investigate Earth Podcast, look us up. But listen, this murder, this quadruple homicide happened in Moscow, Idaho. It is a community. A very small community. It's not very far from Washington State, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is a place that has not dealt, as we talked about earlier, with a murder in 6 or 7 years.
Right, since 2015.
Yeah, and now they have a quadruple homicide on their hands of college students. And it's just making the entire situation very hard to grasp for a lot of people in the community. And so when we talk about the police response and what they initially came out and said that, you know, oh, you know, shelter in place and be vigilant. And then they come out and say, don't worry about it.
This is targeted.
It's targeted. You have nothing to worry about. And then they come back and retract their statement again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of questions about this.
Right.
But then also something very heinous that happened before the murders occurred.
In
this
October.
This
yeah.
was about a month before.
Yeah.
And not even a month. And it's disgusting, actually, what happened.
Oh, it's
awful. And I 100% believe this is connected. And we're going to talk about it a little later in the show. But
I did really cry at that, too. I've been crying with this and what happened before. Like, this is all awful.
So, investigators have basically developed a timeline. We're going to go a little bit through the timeline and tell you kind of how this happened. And we're going to tell you who these people were. The four victims were University of Idaho seniors, Madison Mogan, and Kaylee Goncalves, Zaina Kernodal, and Ethan Chapin. So the three women, Kernodal, Mogan, and Goncalves, and by the way, I'm going to refer to these as last names. As Sherry, you may refer to them as first
names.
Yeah,
I like the first names. That's Madison, Kaylee, and Zaina.
Yeah.
They were all roommates, and Ethan
was
the boyfriend of Zaina.
Okay. And so they lived on King Road, and there was two other surviving roommates.
On the bottom floor.
Yes, that was on the bottom floor that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's go through the timeline. So starting at 8 p.m., Chapin and Kernodle, who were dating, and so this is the boyfriend and girlfriend, so Zana
and Ethan.
And Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a party at Sigma Chi fraternity on campus Saturday night. Chapin was a member of Sigma Chi. From 10 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., Mogan and Goncaves were at the Corner Club bar in downtown Moscow, which That's describes me. Itself as a dive, sports, or local bar.
And that's Madison and Kaylee. Yeah. We're at a local bar where I'm assuming a lot of college students visit, and it's probably locals too, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
yeah, yeah.
you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're at the University of Idaho, and, you know, this is very similar area and place and an environment to what you would find in many college towns.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
you go to University of South Carolina, you got the Five Points area, which is where all the college students go at the University of South Carolina. You've got University of Tennessee. I mean, you know, Knoxville downtown is right there. This is a very similar yeah. situation. And obviously, Idaho is a smaller town than
right,
a lot.
25,000, I think.
Yeah, so there's probably maybe like one or two bars at the max in this area.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know for
well,
sure,
yeah,
but
we
I mean,
know,
you know, it's a smaller town.
It's probably going to be mostly college students, and I think some locals probably yeah. frequent this establishment.
Yeah, so now we're going to move on to Sunday, November 13th. This is 1 a.m. now, and police believe that the two surviving roommates had returned home by this time, and both had been out in Moscow community, but were not together. They may not have woken up until late Sunday morning, according to police. So they arrived at the home at 1 a.m. They were not together that
They
night.
Were both out Saturday night. They come back at 1 a.m.,
Yeah, and these are the two surviving roommates.
These
so
are the girls
sure.
on the first floor.
Yeah.
These are the, and let me just put it out here right now. All these girls were in a sorority. The girls on the third floor were the big sisters, and the girls on the bottom were the little sisters.
Yeah, and the littles.
Yeah, if you know anything about sororities.
Yeah.
So the littles got home early, obviously, because they're younger, and they probably can't go to bars.
Yeah,
so they
right.
got home about 1 a.m.
Yeah, so they were probably at, like, we don't know where they were, but, you know, more than likely house parties, stuff like that is where
right.
you're going to be.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's very, and let me also explain, too. Let me explain what the house looks like. I mean, you guys can look it up, obviously, but this is important for many different reasons. The house is like a split-level home. That's mm-hmm. really what it is.
Yeah.
It is a split-level. On the bottom floor, the bottom floor is basically below a hill, and then you've got the second and third floor. And the second floor being the first floor, if you go up on the top of the hill, because you can walk straight in from like the driveway area up top.
Right. So the second floor is like the main floor. That's where the dining room, the kitchen, and the two bedrooms. One was vacant and one was occupied by Zana and Ethan.
Yeah. And then, you know, the bottom floor was the split level part,
right,
which is, I think, maybe
freshmen's.
Partially underground or whatever.
Right.
And then the third floor was obviously the third floor. So
yeah, that was Kaylee and Madison.
So I want to make sure that we understand that. Now, the bottom floor had a door, which I believe was the keypad lock, right, on the very bottom floor.
The second floor.
The second floor had a keypad lock?
Yeah, it was the main floor that you come in on the second floor. That's well, where the kitchen and the living room.
Well, I know area. There was a sliding glass door, so
right.
there was a keypad on that?
No, on the front door is a keypad.
On the bottom floor?
No, on the main level, which is the second floor.
Okay, well, that's where the sliding glass door is.
Yes.
So there was another door.
Yeah, there's a door in the front. There's a door in the back. Ethan and Zana are on the main level where the keypad is on the front and the sliding door on the back. The two freshman girls are kind of at the bottom where it's not the main entry. And then you can go up the stairs to Madison and Kaylee's room.
I got you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ethan and Zana were like pretty much on the main floor, even though there was a floor kind of below them. People don't like to call it a basement because it wasn't really underground, but it's pretty much a basement.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what. Yeah. It's a basement that's, like I said, split. It's split
yeah,
level.
Right.
So at 1:40 a.m., a Twitch live stream appeared to show Mogan and Goncaves buying food at a downtown food truck called the Grub Wandering Kitchen, also known as Grub Truck. Grub Wandering Kitchen was parked at 318 South Main Street, and it was about 0.2 miles south of the Corner Club. So, obviously, they were going to this food truck right before they were about to head home from their night at the bar.
And what time did that say?
That was 1:40 a.m.
1:40. So, they go to this Grub Truck, And what's crazy about this situation is they actually were on video. And the reason why they're on video is really weird, because I was like, how are they even getting this on video? Well, come to find out, there's a bunch of people that do Twitch and what is it, Discord?
Well,
chat?
It's not a bunch of people. Well, yeah, but yes,
this, some people,
this lives, truck, I guess, yeah, had a
live stream.
Yeah.
And a lot of people comment on the live stream, and there's other people that are live streaming there too. Mm-hmm. And what's scary about this situation is when I looked deeper into these live streams,
and you looked at like people commenting, and
yeah,
stuff
you
like
see
that.
People saying, I'm gonna offer this girl free food and see if she'll, you know, she'll
go
like
home
me.
With me or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So it was almost like a stalking type stream.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank God.
Well, I mean, it's just because there's a bunch of weirdos. I mean, they're you know, if you have a live stream and you're showing a bunch of college kids,
yeah,
and this is anywhere,
and this has been,
you're
going to
have weirdos.
Yeah,
on
and they also, they've been doing this for like 2 years, and they're always checking out the girls. It's almost like a stalking video of girls that visit this truck, which is really scary to me because all these girls are being stalked and they don't even know it.
Yeah, no, I mean that's true, but you know. Keeping in mind, it's legal to have a live stream in public because
yeah.
If you're in public, you are allowed to be recorded. You know, if you're in a private establishment like a bar, the only way that people can't record you is if the private club or bar says
right.
that you can't record in there.
And
right?
Let me ask you a question about Twitch and Discord, because you know a lot about that. If you live stream, can you save those videos?
Yeah, yeah. They. It depends on the live stream, but yeah, they. Some live streamers will make the video go away after the fact,
mm-hmm.
and some keep it on there. It just depends on their settings and so on.
Well, at this point, it's pretty good that, you know, these stalkers or these guys that were doing the live stream had these videos.
Well,
because...
no, the guys that were doing the live stream were not stalkers. Let's not say that, Jerry. The live stream itself, from what I'm assuming or heard or whatever, was probably the food truck or whatever that just live streamed the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted people to see, like, people were here and whatever.
Right.
They're not stalking people because they have a video.
Well, I guess the people that
the
are
people
chatting,
that may be watching, yes,
yeah.
may be stalkers, but that's
right.
not the responsibility of
right.
the live streamer.
Well, anyways, the food truck, whatever streamer, I think it's a great thing that they were doing that because it gives us a really good timeline of what happened.
Yeah.
And when it happened and what time. And getting on to the point of the video, if you really watch the video in the beginning, you see...
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Madison and Kaylee coming up to the food truck to order food. And there's a young man behind them. He has a hat, a baseball hat on and warm clothes. He's kind of with them, but kind of not. But if you watch the video... This young man kind of stands back in the background, kind of like a loner, while the girls order the food. So he didn't order anything.
Mm-hmm.
They ordered food. And as they're waiting after they order the food, they're hugging people, blah, blah, blah. Then the young man starts to mingle with other people talking. And there is one gentleman that was out there, a boy, or no, a college guy, saying that he talked to him. And he said he was their neighbor and he was making sure they got home safe.
Yeah, and in this video, so this guy, he was talking to them at first, right?
Right.
In the video.
Right.
We want to make that clear. So he apparently, I guess, knew them, according to reports.
Right, he was a neighbor.
And then at some point, they're kind of about to leave. As they walk off to their vehicle, or to a vehicle, a private party vehicle is what's been described.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is kind of pointing at them, with, you know, talking to someone else.
Right, the guy
and,
with
and
the
when,
beard.
Yes,
yeah.
And then at that point, the guy turns around
mm-hmm.
and walks As the girls are leaving, he walks away like he's going to get in his car. And like if you just watch the video, it looks like he's going to get in his car to go follow them or whatever. So if he was a suspect, right? So say that they did not know this guy. Now, supposedly he has been cleared, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you just watch the video, it makes you feel weird about this. And the reason I bring this up is because there was a murder that happened here in South Carolina in Columbia at USC. Some of you may have heard about it. Samantha Josephine. Samantha Josephine was out at a bar in Five Points, which is what I talked about, a college bar, mm-hmm, or a college area where, right, people gather in Columbia. And she was waiting on the side of the road on at a sidewalk in town. There were people
at
around
a bar. Everybody was around talking outside, chatting.
Yeah,
she was
very
just kinda,
similar to this video,
right? And she's kind of like on her own.
Yeah, it's very similar to this video. Mm-hmm. There's a guy that is in a black car. He pulls up because he sees Samantha waiting for what appears to be an Uber, and so Nate Roland, her killer, spoiler alert, pulls up. You know, she opens the door. She assumes this is her Uber. She gets in. At some point, as they're riding, she from what I guess we hear, she kind of realizes that she is not in the right car, mm-hmm, or whatever the case may be.
He
has child locks on the car. She cannot get out. He stabs her to death, and he murders her.
And I think isn't there a law since
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there's a thing about like, yeah, you know, when you go to an Uber, you ask them for your name because they're supposed to know your name. You know, and there's a big movement to that with the whole Uber situation because of Samantha Josephine. And so Nate Roland was convicted of her murder.
Life sentence.
Mm-hmm. And so when I see this video from the food truck, it reminds me of that.
Yeah,
it reminds
really does.
Me of girls that are innocent.
Vulnerable.
And there are people out there. Now, listen, we're going to talk briefly before we get into more of the timeline, about this particular time, because mm-hmm, something in my mind keeps saying that this, when you watch the food truck live stream and you mm-hmm see these girls going to the food truck and then you mm-hmm see them leaving, and then you see this guy walking away and supposedly he's their friend that's making sure they're going to get home. Okay, fine. And if he's completely cleared, great. But I believe, in my opinion, that someone that night, I almost feel like, I know this sounds strange, I'm not a psychic or anything.
I know, but
I just
feel
like
too.
Someone
yeah
was there right
and watching
then,
them.
Watching them yeah leave and was following them home.
And I don't think they were on the video of this part because, listen, this video is only 10 minutes. They were there 15, 20 minutes, I think. They got there at 1:40 and they got home at 1:56. Mm-hmm. So what is that? I can't think right now.
Whatever.
Anyways, they were there a good while. I think somebody was watching them. And the reason I have to put facts behind of why I think that is because during Kaylee's mother's interview, she talked about how vigilant her daughter was. And she was always aware of her surroundings. And one day she was on the phone with Kaylee when she was in the car driving. She was like, Mom, I think somebody's following me. Mm-hmm. She's like, Kaylee, pull over and call the cops. She's like, oh, wait, they just turned into another parking lot. I'm good. But do you ever get the feeling when you're being followed or you know you're being followed?
Yeah, but maybe Kaylee had been knowing that, you know, it's something that like she had been feeling.
Yeah, and maybe Mom's not even putting everything out there. I feel like she knew she was being stalked or followed or whatever.
Yeah. Now to say that, and before we go further, let's talk about a little bit about the social media
yeah
stalkers.
That's got to come in right now. Yeah.
The
right
social media stalkers, I guess, was a thing that there was multiple stalker accounts, right,
mm-hmm,
that were following and stalking or just saying crazy shit to three of the victims.
Right.
At
Kaylee,
least.
Madison, and Ethan, as yeah crazy as that is, three of them out of four.
Yeah.
Zayna didn't have any stalking.
And this
going
was
on
happening before the murder.
Before the murder.
And then
yeah
also somewhat after the murder.
Yes. There was an account that stalked them before and after and talking about things like as scary as like, I bet the killer wanted to feel like how warm your body was and going cold or whatever. Just like
yeah,
really
nasty stuff.
Really bad stuff.
Yeah. So there's the stalker element here. I mean, could someone, I don't know why I feel like possibly whoever did this was watching them that night. Because listen, when the police come out in the beginning and they say, oh, this is a targeted attack. Mm-hmm. This is a targeted attack. These are college students, so they probably pissed off someone in college. And this is obviously probably another college student that was mad. Maybe it's like a guy that liked one of the girls and then he wanted to get revenge because maybe this girl turned him down one day or whatever the case may be. Okay, yes, that's all very plausible. But what I can also tell you is very plausible is a random person that is out to kill. Maybe this person had a problem with women in the past that he has no idea who any of these people are. But he has a very deep issue with women that has turned him down in the past, may have nothing to do with these girls or guy. He may not even be close to their age. This guy may be 50 years old. He might be 45 years old. And it's something that he is, deep down, he's scarred. He's scarred from women. He's scarred from something like this. But the thing is, this is what happened with Nate Rowland and Samantha Josephine.
Right.
He obviously had an issue and a deep power and resentment towards women for Samantha Josephine.
He had no idea who Samantha was. No, he had a resentment for white girls.
Yeah, you're right. But he had no idea who Samantha Josephine was. Mm-hmm. If we would not have had the... Had we not had some of the videos like we did with Samantha Josephine's case, and then she disappears or she's murdered, then they may have said, well, this is targeted too because we don't have any evidence otherwise, right?
Right.
You always want to say it's targeted because the randomness just makes
no sense.
It doesn't make sense, but it also does.
Right, exactly. But if you think about Josephine's situation and this situation... What I feel is very odd when serial killers usually kill, especially women, men killing women, they sexually assault these people.
Yeah.
No one was sexually assaulted. But if you look at Josephine's case, I don't know if she was sexually assaulted or not.
I can't remember. I really can't remember.
But a lot of times, seems like serial killers are
I think
more...
she was. I'm going to say she was.
Yeah, well, serial killers are more into the sexual assault because it's not because of the enjoyment of sex. It's about the power of doing something and alienating somebody and making them feel powerless over their bodies and they have no control. But in this case, nobody was sexually assaulted as far as they have said. So that's where it's like, wow. Okay, somebody was out for revenge.
So listen, Samantha Josephine was not sexually assaulted.
There you go.
And he was a killer that just had no idea who she was, but wanted to kill. He wanted to kill because he hated whatever the white woman was part of it.
Target white bunny.
Well, it kind of got national news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sent text messages to I guess it was his, I think it was like his ex-girlfriend or something, right?
Well, and his brother that was a preacher and everything else.
Yeah, he sent a text message. Had a target emoji and a white bunny. which stands for white girl.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Now, we could keep going on this, but let's move on a little bit.
There's so many rabbit holes in this investigation, in this whole murder investigation, or this whole what happened, and there's so many ways.
And also,
you can turn.
I will say this, and I'm not going to say this to start any political nothing, but what I will say this is that these are three women, one white male. They all, at least from the outside perspective, seem to be doing well for themselves. They
were all popular.
Yeah, they're all popular. They're all
sororities,
very whatever. Sorority, fraternity. Seem like some of them may have had money. I don't know. But you also at this point, you know, it's the same situation. Is that for example, the Q nightclub or whatever that nightclub is that just got the gay nightclub that
right,
just
in
got
Florida.
Yeah, that just had a shooting. Five people dead. Colorado Springs. That five people died and they're calling that a hate crime. And why are they calling it a hate crime? Well, they're calling it a potential hate crime because of the fact they're gay, right? There's five people that died and they're all gay. So when you have multiple people that are dead because of one person, it could be motivated by hate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a college campus to where you have a house full of six black people, right? And four of those black people are murdered in cold blood, right? And this is a college campus that has white and blacks. It's not just a black college or whatever. Same thing with the Same thing with the Emmanuel Church, Dylan Roof or whatever his name was in Charleston. He went to a black church.
Mm-hmm.
He killed black people. But, you know, I'm not saying that this is racially motivated. All I'm saying is it is four or it was six white people in the house. It is four people. That's a possibility. That's all I'm saying. But they're not even saying that because it's white people, but we won't even go there. But it is a possibility. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Because they're very prominent. They're very popular. They're very...
Oh, yeah. They're cheerleaders, sorority, sisters, everything. They're very, you know, and they're very out on Instagram and taking pictures all the time. They're very popular people, and I can see a lot of people being jealous of them as well.
And the only reason I went down that hole is because of the Nate Rowland thing with Samantha Josephine. Mm-hmm. He went after her because she was a white girl that he wanted to kill.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying that's what it is. But I'm just saying we have to look and think about all avenues of this. So let's move on in the timeline. 1:45 to 2 a.m., Mogan and Goncalves used a private party to ride home from the food truck, and all four victims were back at the house on King Road sometime in the neighborhood of 1:45 a.m. Sunday. And this was a map that was provided by Moscow police that showed basically where they came from and where they went. It was it's a short drive from the time they were seen to the
even a mile.
Exactly. They were seen in the food truck. They were home. They got taken home by a private party. That private party has since been cleared as well.
And they, according to sources, they arrived at the home at 1:56.
Mm-hmm.
And both Ethan and Zaina and Madison and Kaylee all arrived about the same time, between 1:45 and 1:56. So they all get home about the same time.
Yeah, you're right. So between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., this is when the coroner said the homicides probably occurred. So it was between 2 and 5 a.m.
But most people say 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mayor said that the police told him they believed the deaths were probably between 3 and 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so Olivia Goncalves, which is a sister of Kaylee,
mm-hmm.
said in an interview that her sister and Mogan called a contact named Jack in their phone several times before they died. At 2:26 a.m., Kaylee starts to call Jack. She said Kaylee calls Jack six times between 2:26 a.m. and 2:44 a.m. From 2:44 to 2:52, Maddie calls Jack three times. Then Kaylee makes a final call to him at 2:52 a.m. So not only Kaylee was calling Jack, Maddie was also trying to call Jack.
Right.
And
there are speculations saying that people have heard that there was a text to Jack as well about the dog, Murphy, that they shared. They shared a dog, a golden doodle, Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think that if, you know, I don't know for sure, but if you're calling so many times, maybe she was worried about her dog.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing in this case.
Yeah,
where
so we don't know
the
where
dog?
The dog. Yeah, we don't know where the dog was. Was
there
the
was
dog,
a dog
here or was it not?
Yeah, the dog was living in the place with all six roommates. It sounds like the dog was like a family member from everybody, and he would just like, you know, go to anyone's bed or whatever. He was a very friendly dog, but we don't know where the dog was that night.
Was she calling Jack because...
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Because the dog was not there?
Was a dog missing? Was a dog on the first floor with the other roommates with their doors locked? We don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a big thing because you have to think about if somebody is coming in your house or not, many dogs bark.
Yeah.
Many dogs don't. But I think a golden doodle is going to bark and has some kind of territorial something.
Yeah, most dogs do. But I mean, listen, if the dog was there and the dog was not there, right? I mean, if the dog was there originally and this call was about the dog, because there was a text message that said something about our dog.
We share the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was this a case of the dog had got loose? We don't know. We don't know that side of the story. Speculation.
Or did the murderer let the dog out?
Yeah, because he was already there in the house before they arrived. I don't think that was the case. I think the murderer was there. Murderer or murderers was there watching or waiting. They were either following the people home or they were there waiting for them to arrive home, right?
Right.
And the reason I say that also is because in many of the mainstream media reports and video and everything else, when they are videoing the police undertaking the investigation in the very beginning phase of this, I guess it was probably about that night or the next day, you saw police all around the home in multiple different locations around the home, in wood lines, across the street, this and this and this. And they were just looking at angles to the home.
Measuring tire tracks, everything.
Yeah, they were measuring tire tracks. But what they were doing with all these different angles is they were looking to see if someone was watching them arrive home, where would they have been watching them from? They were then looking at for evidence of any, you know, people that would have been where they were watching. They were looking at anything that may have dropped.
And they were probably looking if they were in a car, if they went by foot. All this comes to play.
Yeah. They were doing all these things to try to see if this murderer or murderers, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, if they were in the wood line, were they waiting on them or were they following them or were they in the house already? Those are all three very different scenarios. So keeping in mind, there were two roommates that were home at the time of the killings.
They got home at 1 a.m.
They got home at 1. The roommates heard something, according to Chapin's mother. So we know for sure that the roommates did hear something. I don't know if it's rumors or fact that these roommates heard something. And when they did, one of them went to the other one's room.
Yes. And that she was scared. So she asked, can I sleep with you? This is what we hear. Mm-hmm. So their two roommates were together. I've even heard speculation that they were in the closet hiding and they had their door locked.
Yeah.
But most people that know this house know the floor plan.
It's a party house, is what they say.
Yeah. And most people know the combination to get in this house because it's a party house. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know it. And if they don't know it, they probably could find it pretty easily.
Yeah, and I want to also mention, I guess we should mention this now, there were no signs of a forced entry or broken glass.
So they either got in the front door, the back sliding door, or a window.
Or one of the doors was not locked.
Right, and it could have been halfway locked, whatever. We don't know. But the girls on the bottom, I think their doors were locked. But I'm just wondering, I don't know, if the person knew the floor plan, they knew the girls were down there. If they didn't know the floor plan, they wouldn't know they were down there.
Yeah. So, you know, the roommates, the police are saying that the roommates, which are downstairs on the bottom level, they're being cooperative, but they are saying they may be key to solving the crime. And potentially they are witnesses or potentially they are victims. But he added, we're not focusing just on them. We're focused on everybody that may have been coming and going from their residence. Now, this is important because at 11:58 a.m., Moscow police received a call about an unconscious person at the home.
Yeah, and this is the next day on the 13th.
Yes, the next day, 11:58 a.m.
Yeah, 12 p.m., like lunchtime, noon.
So officers arrived shortly after and found the bodies of the four victims on the second and the third floor.
But this is when it gets crazier, is the 911 call.
Yeah, so the 911 call was made from the phone of one of the downstairs surviving roommates, which is the two girls on the bottom floor.
Right.
Now, what the police did not say in the press conference was whether or not the two surviving roommates on the bottom floor actually made the call. So that's very interesting because they would not say it was one of the two that made the 911 call, which leads me to believe it was not them that made the 911 call. It was someone else because, as police have said, when they arrived on the scene, there were multiple people there, which I guess
and
someone called the police. Someone called their friends and not only their friends, but the landlord.
They called their landlord. But reporters had to ask the police in order for the police to even go there with that comment because everybody's been so suspicious about these 911 calls because they said it was from their roommate's phone, but they would not say who called. Well, then as the reports came out, they said there was numerous people that came that day. And there was numerous people that made the 911 call. There was more than one. So we don't know. We've also heard that, you know, there was an unconscious person. I think about an unconscious person as somebody like, you know, laying down, not bloody,
like
blah, blah, blah.
Out.
But also people have reported that maybe one of the roommates saw a deceased body, went outside and passed out. That would make sense. If they say somebody's unconscious here, they don't, I don't know.
No, the fact they reported this as an unconscious body makes no sense to me. You know, with the brutality of what this murder scene had to have looked like.
Unless their doors were locked.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they knew. I mean, maybe.
How would they know if their doors are locked?
Okay, well, they wouldn't know if their doors are locked, but why would their
door... What if they're pounding on the door, like, wake up?
Their doors would not be locked if the murderer went in and murdered them and then left.
But the murderer can lock the door.
No, he can't.
Why can't he?
Why would he?
Why would he not?
I very seriously doubt that. But anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
The 911 call saw the person. They said, I'm reporting an unconscious person on the floor, I believe was the 911 call. That doesn't make any sense.
Now,
to
I
me.
Don't think the floor. They just said an unconscious person.
Whatever.
But whatever. But it's just a very odd 911 call. You don't say it's an unconscious person when you see blood all over them.
Yeah, but maybe they. I mean, that's what doesn't make sense. At 3:07 p.m. So this is after the police had got there. Multiple people were in the house, which means the scene was probably already contaminated heavily. I mean, hopefully not. But, you know, when you have multiple people coming in the house as friends
in a crime scene,
your crime scene is completely screwed because DNA, footprints, all of this stuff is going to be contaminated. And that's not a good thing. So, 3:07 p.m., the university posted an alert on social media that said police were investigating a homicide on King Road, and the post said that the suspect was not known and advised students to stay away from the area and shelter in place. At 3:46 p.m., the school put out a second alert saying police did not believe there was an active threat and that shelter-in-place advisory had been lifted. The alert warned students to remain vigilant, though. And at 5:48, the police finally confirmed the homicides for the first time in a news release. They said this is an ongoing investigation. The release said information will be updated as soon as the next of kin are notified. We have information we can share. The Moscow Police Department gives our heartfelt condolences to the families and friends and the Moscow community. And then the next day, Monday, November 14th, they identified the four victims and confirmed that all four were students at the University of Idaho. They also confirmed that there was no suspect in custody and that it was a stabbing that occurred. And the mayor came out and said that the event is a senseless act of violence in a press release a couple of hours later. And Idaho State Board of Education president said in a statement that the students were murdered. Around the same time, Idaho football coach Jason Eck spoke about the students and also said they were murdered during a press conference with associate athletic director. And so what the police followed up with on Tuesday, November 15th, was just saying that it was an edged weapon, such as a knife, have been used to kill the victims. We have since learned that this knife is a combat-type knife. It is a military-issued type knife. This is something that you would see in Rambo. It is an actual knife that is in Rambo. These knives are issued to military members around the world. It's not just in the United States. These are very popular military knives. There was speculation and some things coming out that whether or not the University of Idaho ROTC program issued knives or had access to these military-grade knives, just to maybe see if there was a rabbit hole they could go down to possibly this could be like an ROTC member
right.
or someone associated with this.
Because they already looked around all the
local stores,
to see if anyone recently has bought a knife. But I'm just saying, if somebody did this, they've had that knife for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't just go buy it.
No, they didn't. Which is going to lead us to what we're going to talk about
exactly.
here in a minute. So yeah, I don't think this knife was purchased recently. But, you know, at the same time, if police, I hope the police and investigators, I would hope, you know, when you're looking at stores or whatever, or, you know, you can't really look, obviously, at online, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, most people order things online now. It's you're not going to go to a local store and buy a knife, typically. I mean, I would, if I was going to buy a military knife, right, like a Bowie knife or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to a Army Navy store, which yes, we still do have Army Navy stores.
But
we have one
few.
In Greenville. Yeah, there's
very
not very
few.
Many. But you can go to Amazon and buy any kind of Army Navy anything that you would ever find in an Army Navy store. And it'll be there in 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days.
Now, obviously, if the police have no idea who this person is, they can't go to Amazon and figure out like who possibly bought a knife. You know, whatever. I mean, maybe you could. I mean, if you could figure out. I mean, I would assume you could do that.
Well, if you
it's
had,
like figure out who bought knives in yeah. that area within a certain time frame.
Yeah, and if you even had persons of interest and go and look at their accounts.
But even if you didn't have persons of interest, you should be able to go to Amazon with a warrant, FBI, and
yeah.
say, "Look, I need anyone that has bought a knife such as this
mm-hmm.
in the past 6 months in this area, right?" That should lead you possibly to someone. Because if you have
Good.
A knife similar to a military-grade knife, and then you have, say, 7 people that bought these knives in this little town or this say, 30-mile radius
mm-hmm.
in the last 6 months,
and that,
you have 6 people
yeah.
that you can go investigate.
That even reminds me of Todd Colop. Sorry, but I don't know.
Todd Colop's a serial killer
yes.
that was in South Carolina here also.
He ordered all of his stuff off of Amazon and even made like all these crazy comments on the things he bought.
Yeah, because he was commenting on like, yeah, I bet I could kill somebody with this, and
yeah.
and he ended up killing multiple people. What, 6 or 7 or something?
Yeah.
8? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. So you guys may have heard of Todd Colop. All right. So we talk about no one, at least at the local stores, had bought a knife. Now we have to also talk about something which is, I guess, a little bit crazier. There was an incident that happened about a month or so. It was October 21st is when this happened. And we have to talk about this because I think that this probably, if you're going to point towards a serial killer type situation and away from more of the targeted, like, girl-heated thing or
right.
even maybe a guy being pissed off that they got turned down. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. But there was a woman who lives near the scene of the Idaho murders that says her adorable mini Australian Shepherd was filleted weeks before a quadruple slaying. And they literally said this dog was skinned down to his freaking paws. The paws are the only thing that had fur still on them.
The paws and the head.
Now, the police have downplayed this.
They said it's not part of the investigation.
Well, no, they said they don't know if it's a part of the investigation, but they don't believe it is. And it's very similar to what the police have done this entire time in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to understand that if you are police, you're a small town, you also have to, you don't want the town in hysteria.
Right.
And so if you come out and say, yes, we believe that this dog that was skinned and filleted was a part of this murder, your entire town's going to shut down. There's going to be some craziness going on. And so
I think people should be alerted at
absolutely.
The same time.
If it is, yes. I believe the opposite of whatever law enforcement believes, which is, you know, we got to keep people calm, right? It's the same thing as like if there's a comet coming to Earth. Don't tell Earth until like 6 hours before and be like,
yeah.
hey, by the way, you're all dying
yeah,
in 6 hours.
Yeah, you're going to die in 6 years.
yeah. 6 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
So Pam and Jim Colbert's dog, Buddy, he's a mini Australian Shepherd, was filleted and skinned on October 21st. This was weeks before the college students were murdered. Now, this couple let their dog out before going to bed, but believed somebody was waiting outside. So this couple usually lets their dog out. This was
an
inside dog.
Yeah.
They lived on more than 10 acres. The dog was 12 years old, but he was found skinned from head to tail with just the fur on his paws and head remaining. So although police have not made a direct connection between the dog's killing and the murders, it has left, obviously, the Moscow community absolutely shocked and scared. I can only imagine. Moscow police believe all the victims of the thing were stabbed to death in their home, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And a police report has also suggested the four victims may have been too shocked to scream while being killed. Now, typically, you know, if you want to, and this is a good point, you know, a lot of people have said, well, how can one person do this? Well, yeah. Even four people, even if they were shocked. Now, listen, when you get stabbed by, say, a 6 or 8 inch knife, and especially if you're sleeping and you're stabbed in the back of the lungs and all that stuff,
right.
you're not going to be able to scream.
You can't even
scream.
Breathe
yeah.
to even scream.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to scream. And even if you're not stabbed in vital organs such as lungs or whatever the case may be,
neck.
Is the shock and everything is going to be overwhelming.
And plus, you got to put in consideration, all these people have been out, you know, at parties. They yeah. probably had some alcohol involved. And I know, like, when I have alcohol involved.
Let's not get too aggressive.
I get home and, you know, I go to bed and I pass out. And you pass out hard.
But also, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but you know, we do know that alcohol thins your blood.
Yeah.
And so.
And that makes it more gruesome.
Yeah. So, Pam and Jim Colbert's dog was skinned and sliced after being let out. The couple believes that whoever it was obviously waiting because they just let the dog out. He comes back in a few minutes later, but he didn't come back in this time. Now, Pam's 78 years old, and this is an older couple.
Right.
And they said their 12-year-old dog, who had been rescued from a puppy mill, only had fur left on his legs after this and face. And he was defiled by some unknown psychopath.
So they left him.
Yeah. Yeah, they left him because they wanted the people to see it, and they wanted to take a momentum, I guess, or a moment of
the
of
skin,
what they did.
The
yeah.
fur.
Yeah, and this is very reminiscent of serial killers.
It
a
is.
Lot of serial killers do this stuff.
Look at Jeffrey Dahmer, for
Jeffrey
example.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
All
there's
of
so
them.
Many
Ted
of them.
Bundy, all of them.
Yeah. So obviously they're badly shaken by the attack, and you know, so many others fear that this is completely warped into this mass murder
yeah.
in
and
Idaho campus.
And most people know that serial killers first start with animals to get their fix, and then animals are not enough. But beside the dog that was skinned and filleted, they also have a cat missing, and they found a rabbit that was scalped and its ears were missing.
Yeah, and the very interesting thing about this is this couple called
an Australian Shepherd's a really smart dog.
Yeah, it's a miniature one. This dog, when they called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department came out. They went to see the dog. You know, I guess they were very distraught. Whatever. And the sheriff's department came and told them that this person, whoever did this, they skinned the dog. But what they did with the meat was very interesting. They filleted the meat like it was being ready to be eaten. I mean, so imagine skinning a fish and then filleting mm-hmm. a fish. Mm-hmm. They filleted the meat off this dog and then set it aside in perfectly, like a perfectly good manner.
Yeah,
like,
to me.
Like it's ready to be eaten.
That's a sick, sick
person. Oh, absolutely it is. And that's why I don't. Whatever is happening in this Moscow, Idaho town is not some random pissed off college student that is pissed off at these four people. If this shit is connected, which I almost feel like it has to be. I feel like this dog, and it's not just the dog, by the way. There was a rabbit that was
yeah.
a
I just said that, yeah.
2 or 3 weeks before that.
That was scalped. And his ears were removed.
Yes. So this, whoever this psychopath is, has been... almost as if they were trying to give signs of their psychopathic
mm-hmm.
Tendencies
mm-hmm.
before they did the ultimate psychopathic thing, which is murder 4 college students in cold blood
right.
by a knife in the middle of the night.
And you think about knives versus guns. Knives are way more passionate and
but it's
in
also
your
more
face.
Sick. But keep in mind, we got to think about this. So there's no knife recently bought by, you know, stores
right.
around.
They had the knife, obviously.
Well, obviously, whoever did this poor dog and
skinned
him.
And this is not
him.
A kitchen knife, by the way.
No, this is a military-grade knife.
Knife.
Yeah, but listen, to skin a dog and also fillet a dog, right? That tells me one of two things. This knife was extremely
sharp.
Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking about extremely sharp. And it was probably long because to do that in a pretty fast fashion, you know, with a couple that lets their dog out
to go pee,
and then this dog is skinned and filleted. By the time that these people realize their dog has not come back in, this is a bigger knife, 6-7 inches. It's extremely sharp, and that knife could very well be the knife that killed all four of these people.
Yeah, I think so.
And I really
and
do think it is.
Maybe this person that killed the dog, if that is right, could have been stalking other people. Because the owner of the dog said, I feel like the dog was being stalked. He knew the patterns
yeah.
of when we let the dog out.
Yep.
He was watching
yeah,
our
he was
dog.
Waiting. He was
he
waiting.
He was watching and waiting. And he, at that perfect moment, took the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm looking at pictures here where the couple, you know, they hold the collar of the dog.
Yeah, it's so sad.
So Buddy's house, the dog that got skinned, was literally 3 miles, and this
is three
yeah. miles, like as the crow flies.
Less
I mean, I'm talking about
month.
A straight drive.
Yeah,
from the murder, King Road house, the murder house, to where Buddy was skinned alive. Yeah.
Less than 3 miles, and it happened less than a month ago. You know, we have not heard of any other murders going on in Idaho that we know of right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they probably have homeless people that might not show up. I don't know. But
yeah, and so, the owners, he said, we let Buddy out, and somebody must have been waiting out there. Bud never leaves the yard, but this person grabbed Buddy. They had to have. We always leave our doors open, and he didn't come back in. A little while later, Jim went out calling him and couldn't find him. Friends came up and started looking for him and eventually found him. Now, Pam and Jim live in a house that's 10 acres of land in a quiet rural community and managed to get a group of friends together to come out and help search for their mini Australian Shepherd is what the dog is.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the smartest dogs in the world.
Yeah, they adopted the pooch 5 years ago. And Jim found a mutilated rabbit with his scalp and ears sheared off close to its home shortly before Buddy's death. So this is also the same home, same people, had a mutilated bunny. And I honestly think that this person, it may not be connected.
It might not.
But what I'm telling you is that it just seems like that they wanted this to make the news, like a big news thing.
Yeah.
Or they wanted this to come up when they did the murder that they were inevitably going to do.
Or they were just trying to get their satisfaction, you know, kind of like Jeffrey
Dahmer.
Yeah. Like he started with animals and he was kind of content, but then he needed more and needed more and needed more.
Yeah, and look, who knows how long this person, if this is the person, right? If this is the person, who knows how long this person has been doing this to animals? But I think they wanted to make a statement with someone else's animal before they killed the four college students. This is speculation. But also, if this is the case, then obviously this person probably lives closer to the home of this pet, more so than they lived closer to King Home. We don't know.
Yeah, and
but they obviously are local somewhere.
They're not college students.
No, I don't think so. If they're the animal killer and whatever, I don't think so. I think it's a deranged
it's
psychopath.
It's more of a profile of Jeffrey. Why can't I say his name? Damn.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yes.
Sherry, say his name.
Jeffrey. I said it that time. Sorry. It's more like him, you know? And they're so like really good at getting away with shit.
Well, yeah, serial killers are because they do think about shit beforehand. I mean, that's the whole reason they would
plan
think about
it
this
out
dog.
Yeah, they really get off on that.
Yeah, they do. And then the other thing we'll talk about briefly is, could this be a girl? Maybe, but doubtful, in my opinion. I don't feel like you don't hear of too many women that do this, even with the most passionate scenarios. When their husband cheats on them, you don't really typically hear of women doing this very often. So it would have to be something just crazy major for a girl to go that ballistic to kill four people. Because it's a woman killing four people.
Yeah, and a male. That's
yeah, and a guy.
Sized,
I just, I don't think
guy.
It's a woman. I think it's a guy, and I don't even think it's a college student. I think it's someone deranged. I think it has to do with this dog mutilation. I think and skinning. I think it has to do with that. I think it is a sign. And look, if this person is good and they've thought this shit through, then that town is not safe at all.
No,
and this will happen.
And
this could happen again.
It could have been not only just like they just didn't randomly show up there. They've been watching these girls. Over
yeah,
time.
But what I will want to say is if this is not a targeted thing, and this is a serial killer, right? And
they plan out everything.
I know, but I think that if this is a serial killer, they will be on the hunt for someone else very soon.
Yes.
Because they're going to do it before they get caught. They're going to attack again before they get caught if this is a serial killer. If it's targeted, fine. But if it's a serial killer, it's this sick, that's already done this to potentially a dog and a rabbit,
and
they're going
to
do this again before they get caught.
Yeah, they mutilated four people.
Guys, listen, this should be, guys and girls, this should be something that, you know, the police need to be telling the people of Moscow. Unless they know something we don't know whatsoever, which I don't believe they do. Could be wrong. They should be telling people to make sure that your doors are locked, to make
yep.
sure that you are safe, make sure yep. you're aware of your surroundings when you're at home. Do not leave your doors unlocked. And I'm telling you guys, if you're in Idaho in that area, do not leave your doors unlocked. Be vigilant. Do not let your guard down whatsoever, because I'm telling you, this could happen again.
And
we don't know anything.
And
right
thankfully,
now.
Mr. Green, the president of the college, gave an option to the kids. You can go virtual the rest of the semester, or you can stay here and go to classes.
But what I'm saying is, if you live in that town, be very vigilant,
yeah.
be very careful. Guys, this is not over yet. We
no,
don't know how
but
long
I'm just
this
saying,
is going
to
last.
If you're a parent of a kid that goes to that college, you better think twice about it, because we're not sure.
Yeah.
And I think that they're trying to make it like, no panic. Don't panic about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Which is why they don't want to connect the dog whatsoever to this, because that makes it look really bad. And then they're just going to have a shit show going on in Moscow, and it's going to get way worse for them as far as their investigation. And I get it, but also you have to make the public aware of what the situation is. And that's why I think police should be more transparent, because listen, transparency or not, look, whoever killed this person knows that, like, I've got to, no matter whether the police say we think we have if the police come out and say we think we have someone or not, it doesn't matter. This person is probably thought this through, and regardless, this is a scary situation for this town. It is.
It really is.
But, guys, that's all we have for this episode. We're going to continue to follow this. We're going to continue to keep track of this. If you guys have any information, obviously call the police if you have information, you know, otherwise. But if you're friends or anything with the victim or the town or whatever, and you want to reach out to us and let us know anything that you have that that's interesting information, let us know. InvestigateEarthPodcast.com. The best way you can reach us is Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And look, I will say this once again. We are praying for the families of this,
yes.
of everyone involved. And we hope that whoever the bastard is that did this is caught soon enough. And you know, we need some people out there we need to bring a group of people out there to search for this asshole.
Yeah, we need militia out there.
Yeah, no joke.
Seriously. We need some major militia out there finding this guy,
need
our
some.
Guys,
yeah.
our girls, whatever they are. Who
Anyways,
knows?
Guys, we love you. And until next time, peace out.
It's time for me to go solo. You never cared about me, did ya? That's why it's hard to understand. Yeah. Say what you wanna say. I wanna hear it, but I don't understand why you're feeling so emotional. Do what you have to do. Break the things around you, but I don't understand why you're feeling so emotional. One desire to start again from
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.